Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. It's useful to get some notebook paper and pen to take notes during the show. What we have been doing for some months now is exploring the myths about money. Our money system is not what we have been led to believe. The creation of money has been privatized or taken over by a private money cartel. Except for coins, all of our money is now created as loans advanced by private banking institutions, including the private Federal Reserve. Banks create the principal, but not the interest, to service their loans. To find the interest, new loans must continually be taken out, expanding the money supply, inflating prices, and robbing you of the value of your money. We've been specifically looking at a book called The Web of Debt, which unravels the deception and presents a clear picture of the financial abyss towards which we are heading. It then explores workable alternatives, particularly one that was tested in colonial America and is grounded in the best of American economic thought, including the writings of Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and Abraham Lincoln. It helps us to analyze and improve our own financial security, personally and nationally, and to deeply understand the cause of the problems we are personally experiencing financially. In the last shows, I started looking at solutions specifically, starting with the critical issues. After a lengthy journey into the Web of Debt book in particular by Elizabeth Brown, I have been focusing now on solutions that the Thrive movement has offered, actually analyzing a lot of what the Web of Debt exposes and stepping into a very broad integrated response, which actually, as we will see, eventually goes way beyond just economics. So I ended the last show looking at solution issues from the Thrive movement, which of course you can read about yourself by going to their website, thrivemovement.com. We started investigating the what can I do top 10 actions in the last show. As a quick overview, those actions are get informed, speak up, and connect with others. Two is bank locally. Three is buy and invest responsibly. Four, join the movement to audit and end the Federal Reserve. Five, keep the internet fair and open. Six, support independent media. Seven, support organic non-GMO farming. Eight, require election and campaign finance reform. Nine, advocate for renewable and free energy. And 10, take part in critical mass actions. We started to go into each one of those points and finished with a discussion on listening, watching, and reading independent news. Five major corporations now own over 80% of the media in the U.S. You can challenge media consolidation by getting your information from diverse sources and contributing to independent media. What matters most is that you access a variety of sources so that you can get a range of perspectives and that the sources are transparent about their funding. It can be surprisingly challenging to find out who owns the media, even for independent stations. You can put pressure on these stations and other news programs by contacting them at the emails listed on the Thrive website. Stations that are viewer-funded can provide the most diverse coverage because they don't risk losing their advertisers. Some of Thrive's suggestions are for TV and radio. Link TV brings you news from all over the world, as well as diverse cultural programs. It is funded 30% by viewers. Another one is Free Speech TV, which is a progressive independent TV and multimedia network. It is funded 33% by viewers. And a third station is Democracy Now! It's a national daily independent news program hosted by journalists Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. They do have a socialist slant, but do in-depth coverage of stories rarely seen in mainstream media. It is 65% funded by viewers and does not publicly disclose information about large foundation funders. Then there's online news, which are news sources that span the spectrum and together provide a snapshot of what is being reported from various political perspectives. They each provide valuable information, but of course often have their own biases. Those with a left-leaning Democratic slant are Common Dreams, which gives you daily news from a progressive perspective. Huffington Post, which brings you daily breaking news on a range of topics. Truth Out, which works to broaden and diversify the political discussion by introducing independent voices and focusing on undercovered issues and unconventional thinking. The more traditionally conservative sources are Campaign for Liberty, which focuses on individual liberty, constitutional government, sound money, free markets, and non-interventionist foreign policy. The Mises Institute, M-I-S-E-S, which offers a libertarian perspective. The Cato Institute is a public policy research organization, a think tank, dedicated to the principles of individual liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. And then also the republicmagazine.com, which covers critical issues rarely seen in mainstream media. Then there's a group that is focused on exposing the global domination agenda specifically. One person is G. Edward Griffin, who investigates the truth behind diverse topics, including chemtrails, cancer cures, and the Federal Reserve. InfoWars, which is the publication site of activist and radio host Alex Jones, who exposes critical information about the global domination agenda. David Icke publishes articles on a regular basis ranging from global governance to microchipping to mind control. Amped Status is 100% reader-funded, and Global Research covers a diverse range of topics. Again, these are all related to exposing the global domination agenda. And then there's the general media websites. One is the Center for Media and Democracy, which investigates PR campaigns run by powerful institutions, assists grassroots activism, promotes media literacy, and sponsors open content media. You can access independent news on their site and contribute to wiki-based investigative journalism. Again, that's the Center for Media and Democracy. And then last is the Center for Public Integrity, which produces original investigative journalism about and is dedicated to making institutional power more transparent and accountable. The whole point here is to learn as much as you can by listening, watching, and reading independent news. And the request is always that you donate to stations that you want to support. Independent media is largely funded by listeners and viewers. Pledging your support has far-reaching value. The issues are critical and not the commercial products being sold. If you're just tuning in, this is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you're listening to Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Now, the next thing that we discussed last week as a solution, and again, this is for ultimately approaching debt in an integrated way. And this particular solution is supporting organic non-GMO farming. What we suggest is that you join a movement to ban GMO farming in foods. Genetically modified foods threaten our health, the environment, and our ability to grow our own food. You can challenge GMO farming practices by joining non-GMO movements and supporting organic local farmers. Through the Thrive website, you can join the Millions Against Monsanto campaign and sign up for Critical Mass Actions to create a GMO-free zone with a critical mass of others. You can protest at the USDA and FDA offices to label and ultimately ban GMO products, and or you can protest at Monsanto headquarters. There is a critical mass survey at the Thrive website for you to fill out. Another important point is to support organizations that are working to protect people and the environment from unsafe GMO practices. The Center for Food Safety works to protect human health and the environment by curbing the proliferation of harmful food production technologies and by promoting organic and other forms of sustainable agriculture. Greenpeace has been campaigning against GMOs since 1995. They got the biosafety protocol adopted in Montreal, Canada, and are working to get countries to ban GMOs altogether. The Natural Solutions Foundation is raising awareness to ban all GMOs, and the Organic Consumers Association is leading a movement against Monsanto, the largest biotech company in the world. It also educates about the benefits of organic farming and food. And of course, on a very practical level, you support organic farmers and eat organic food as much as possible. Shop at your local farmers markets in Fairfield. That's something you can do all the time. Farmers markets often sell food from small local organic farms and are fun, lively events. You can also join a CSA. You get your food in a box on a weekly basis from local farmers and consider sponsoring someone who can't afford to receive CSA harvests. On the Thrive website, you can find a CSA near you or view more listings of CSAs throughout the United States. And lastly, you should use a non-GMO shopping guide. You could actually go to the Center for Food Safety's website and you can download a hard copy of a non-GMO shopping guide, or you could even get their free mobile app. So in short, we want you to support organic non-GMO farming. Ultimately, these factor into not only your health, which reduces personal costs tremendously, but the entire economic long-range stability, which focuses on products and service as the basis of the economy and not the kind of economy we have where the focus is on short-term money increases based on banking schemes. The next solution area is to require election and campaign finance reform. There is now a national movement to get public financing for candidates running for Congress. This would get big money out of elections and allow politicians to focus on their job. It would hold politicians accountable to the people rather than their contributors. On the Thrive website, you can check out the Fair Elections Now Act to get involved. You can also check out Public Campaign Clean Money, Clean Elections for other actions, and that's an organization. Public Campaign Clean Money, Clean Elections, which can also be found on the Thrive website. Interestingly enough, Clean Elections funding requirements, which you can learn more about at the Thrive website, suggest the following: that one, to collect a set number of small contributions in the district; two, to an agreement to voluntary spending limits; three, to no campaign contributions from private donors; and four, to no campaign contributions from one's own pocket. It's about a 14-minute video to get more depth on these particular issues. A second point is to use paper ballots. Many states in the U.S. still use electronic voting machines, even though they frequently malfunction and make it impossible to track the voting record. There is substantial evidence that rigging elections is possible and has happened because of this. People and organizations around the country are working to bring integrity to the electoral process. You can tap into their networks to help bring verifiable paper ballot voting to your area. One is the Election Defense Alliance, a group that is building a national citizens movement for a full-time, full-range campaign to expose electoral fraud and establish electoral integrity in local, county, state, and national elections. You can check out their Take Action section of the site to find out how you can get involved in the campaign, join a local group, and promote election integrity on Election Day. And again, that's the Election Defense Alliance. So you can Google them. Another one is Verified Voting. This organization advocates the use of voter-verified paper ballots for all elections in the United States so voters can inspect individual permanent records of their ballots before they are cast so meaningful recounts may be conducted. They also insist that electronic voting equipment and software be open to public scrutiny and that random surprise recounts be conducted on a regular basis to audit election equipment. You can get involved by checking out their action alerts, signing the resolution on electronic voting, and joining their campaign. Again, that's Verified Voting. And one more point that has come up is to change the voting day. In the U.S., we vote on a Tuesday, which makes it hard for a lot of working people to make it to the polls. An organization called Why Tuesday is working to bring this issue to the forefront. You can check out their work and spread the word by, again, going to the Thrive website for their video. The next solution is to advocate for renewable and free energy. The burning of fossil fuels is polluting the air, fueling war and global conflict, and breeding dependency on oil-rich countries. But efficient, sustainable alternatives exist that can revolutionize the energy industry. You can help make this shift by reducing your reliance on fossil fuels, supporting clean alternatives, and spreading the word about new energy technologies. You can promote new energy technologies with a critical mass of others by signing up Critical Mass Actions on the Thrive Movement website, and you will promote the development, protection, and dissemination of new energy technologies. And we'll come back to this in a little bit. Another thing is just to reduce your reliance on fossil fuels. Buy less petroleum-based products. 93% of American plastics start with natural gas or oil. Avoid single-use plastic products as much as possible. And we'll go into a list of 10 things drivers can do to cut down on oil consumption. You can save a lot of gas by making some simple changes to your driving habits and properly maintaining your car. And I'll come back to this. If you are just tuning in, this is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Now let's look a little bit at visions of new energy technology. From Nikola Tesla, inventor alternating current motor, quote, "Ere many generations passed, our machinery will be driven by power obtainable at any point in the universe. It is a mere question of time when men will succeed in attaching their machinery to the very wheelwork of nature." Brian O'Leary, physics professor and a NASA astronaut, says, quote, "If these new energy technologies were to be set free worldwide, the change would be profound. It would affect everybody. It would be applicable everywhere. These technologies are absolutely the most important thing that has happened in the history of the world." And finally, Stephen Greer, who has Disclosure and Orion Project, said, "This information coming out would completely change geopolitical power more than anything in human history." So let's look at the idea of free energy. What is free energy? And specifically by Foster Gamble, who is the originator of the Thrive movement, he says, "In an era of oil wars, gas price manipulation, fossil fuel pollution, and economic collapse, it is hard to imagine many more provocative terms than free energy." So what does free energy mean? First, like free air, it's available anywhere for anyone. Energy is endlessly available without burning or exploding anything. Two, though devices would necessarily cost something to make and to buy, they would make energy access so inexpensive as to dramatically raise the quality of life for everyone. This area of innovation also uses the terms breakthrough, advanced, over-unity, innovative, novel, unconventional, revolutionary, outside the box, second generation, zero-point vacuum, cold fusion, novel hydrogen, etc. Professionally, the field is now most often referred to as the new energy movement. And you can actually go to a website called thenewenergymovement.org. But isn't a perpetual motion machine impossible? It becomes the question. Of course, no machine runs forever because it is made of matter and all matter wears down. The key is that it is the source of power that is virtually endless. This leads to the second question. Isn't it true that nothing can violate the second law of thermodynamics, which says that in a closed system, the organization of energy naturally runs down, so you can't get more energy out of a system than it takes to run it? And so what is the second law of thermodynamics? Over time, differences in temperature, pressure, and chemical potential equilibrate, which means they all balance out, in an isolated physical system. From the state of thermodynamic equilibrium, the law deduced the principle of the increase of entropy. The second law declares the impossibility of machines that generate usable energy from the abundant internal energy of nature by processes called perpetual motion of the second kind. And that was taken from Wikipedia. And what Mr. Gamble suggests is the torus. The second key is the torus, which is not a closed or isolated system. It is open to the rest of the universe, as are galaxies, solar systems, and the atoms that provide the electricity in our very own bodies. None of these are plugged into a wall socket. They all run off the infinite torque of the universe that is turning every system in existence. So what if there were devices that could tap that? So Mr. Gamble goes on, "Most so-called new energy devices, in my experience, either tap the innate energy of toroidal magnetic fields or they access the virtually unrecognized longitudinal wave at the center of an electromagnetic vortex rather than the more commonly known transverse wave that is coiling around it. Others mimic cosmic vortices with copper coils that create toroidal fields. Rotating these fields at certain octave frequencies seems to tap into the ambient energy of the space around the coils. Harmonic resonance rather than combustion unlocks the power." He continues, "As far as I can tell, the entire universe is an alive sea of energy, and accessing power becomes possible when we can successfully adapt our relationship to waves of pressure. Gas explosions in piston chambers create a burst of force to turn a motor. Burning coal or even nuclear fission just serves to heat water, and the pressure of the steam can crank an engine. A difference in charge on plates in a battery can create a wave of movement in some chemicals that can then power various implements. The pressure of wind, waves, or geothermal heat turns a turbine. Traditional physics recognizes and measures radiation, the energy dissipating from a system, And those waves run our cars, heat our homes, fuel our weapons. But physics has ignored half of the universe, though it is common to read in textbooks that for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. Our textbooks tell us the universe is expanding and winding down. Might it make more sense that the motion is balanced by contracting and winding up? When you breathe out, don't your lungs go in? Walter Russell called this side of the universal dynamic generoactive as opposed to radioactive. This is what creates order, gives life, forms a seed, a fetus, or a black hole, and all the other progeny of the universe. Traditional physics avoids dealing with this because it gets into the life force, which is traditionally contained in the box of biology. It smacks of consciousness, which is hard to measure or prove, and therefore better left to the soft sciences. At best, they call the in-wave gravity and give it some of the usual particle treatment by inventing gravitons, which mediate the strange, unaccountable gathering in. But Mr. Gamble says, let's back up and take a different cut. If we look through the lens of a torus as the fundamental and universal pattern of energy flow, the in and the out waves could just be the enfolding and unfolding aspects, the inhale and exhale that maintains the toroidal wholeness. And one further vital mind-stretching concept. Imagine that at the same time as waves spiral infinitely out from a point, singularity, its complementary waves, spirals infinitely in, like the dark spirals between the light bands of a galaxy. Imagine if a device could access the boundless power of that inward pressure wave, then it would be available anywhere in the universe, and suddenly fuelless propulsion becomes a possibility. Such a dive would be creating its own gravitational field. So theoretically, it could do maneuvers independent of the Earth's field, and by aiming its pressure differential, it could be pulled through space-time like a helium balloon rising in the air, only much, much faster. It turns out that Mr. Gamble interviewed several different people with very authentic sounding reports of having extraterrestrial experiences. When each of them talked independently, they mentioned a toroidal drive centering the spaceship, and they did not know each other. Numerous videos from around the world also seem to show toroidal energy fields surrounding vehicles. Now, this may seem like we're taking a big step in trying to deal with debt, but energy is really one of the principal drivers of the economy manipulations. And this is a very critical issue, not the UFOs, but actually the fact that this and other kinds of situations do force the disclosure of free energy, which many scientists have investigated and firmly advocate. The critical point here is to learn about these issues, these possibilities, investigate them, and open the doors. Because if we could alter the current energy dependency, poverty, and much of the illness on this planet, all extraordinarily economic dependent issues could be alleviated. And I'll continue in the next show. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous, debt-manageable life.